Welcome to the Food Revolution Summit, where we explore how you can heal your body and your world with food. This is Ocean Robbins, and I am joined by my dad and colleague John Robbins in welcoming our guest, Rip Esselstyn. In 2003, when a co-worker in his Texas fire team was diagnosed with high cholesterol, Rip led the members of his fire squad, Engine 2, on a plant-strong diet. He then watched the squad get extraordinary results. Now Rip is teaching millions of people how to align what they put in their mouths with what they want for their weight and for their health. Rip is author of the New York Times bestseller, The Engine 2 Diet, the Texas Firefighters 28-Day Save Your Life Plan that lowers cholesterol and burns away the pounds. He also starred in the hit documentary, Forks Over Knives. We are so glad to have you here, Rip, and here to interview you is my dad, John Robbins.
Thank you, Ocean. And yes, Rip, we are delighted to have you here with us. Thank you for taking time.
Yeah, my pleasure, John and Ocean.
You're known for many things, and we're glad to have you as a friend as well as a colleague. You're a former world-class professional triathlete. You're a former firefighter for the Texas Fire Department. And you're the son and the grandson and the great-grandson of extraordinarily renowned physicians. As a firefighter, as Ocean mentioned, with the Engine 2 station in Austin, Texas, you saved many lives, but then your story took an amazing turn when you learned that some of your fellow Engine 2 firefighters were in dire physical condition. Several had dangerously high cholesterol levels, one as high as 344. And thus began an adventure, and now you save lives in another way. I know you've told the story a million times of what took place after you discovered that some of your fellow firefighters at the Austin, Texas Engine 2 station were in jeopardy. But I find it fascinating, and I find it important, and so I wonder if you could tell it again for our listeners.
So we love playing practical jokes on each other at the fire station. It's really has a certain fraternal feel to it. You know, whether it's who can climb the pole the fastest or sink the most free throws in the basketball court behind the fire station, or who can do the most sit-ups or push-ups or silly little things like that. But so one evening we were sitting out on the front porch, and we had a bet to see who had the lowest cholesterol level, because we started talking about, you know, who was the healthiest. And so the next morning we drove down to the lab, and we all got pricked, and we got our results back. And this one firefighter in particular had that cholesterol of 344 milligrams per deciliter. He was only 33 years old. He had some young children, was married, and he had a horrendous family history of men in his family dying before the age of 52. And so he was flabbergasted, because in the past he'd seen his cholesterol as high as 240, 250, but it had never been anywhere over the 300 mark. And so this basically was the spark that ignited us as a group of five firefighters at Fire Station 2 in the land of beef to do what many people consider to be impossible, and that was basically transition from a meat-strong diet to a plant-strong diet. And I challenged these guys to basically take the 28-day challenge, which is, you know, the subtitle for the Engine 2 Diet book, and you know, these guys morphed themselves from medical time bombs to healthy superheroes within 28 days. And as you well know, John and Ocean, it's amazing how when you put only constructive, healing foods into your body, how rapidly the human organism can become healthy. And so that's exactly what we did. And the 28 days, the results were just so jaw-dropping that it gave these guys the confidence and the inspiration to keep up this lifestyle. And so we, back in 2003, after doing the 28-day challenge, that is when we basically made health a habit at Fire Station 2. And it's what's so really fantastic about it is that from five guys at Fire Station 2, now 10 years later, there's been this profound and amazing ripple effect that spread not only throughout the Austin Fire Department, where we basically flipped a whole entire culture, how firefighters, you know, look at food, and for those that don't even want to consider it, how they're much more accepting of this lifestyle. But it's also rippled out throughout fire departments throughout the whole country. And I get phone calls just about every week from different fire captains, fire chiefs, asking me if I'll come speak to their fire departments to get their firefighters healthy, because a lot of people don't realize that the number one cause of in-the-line-of-duty deaths for firefighters are heart attacks. And the most recent study by Fire Engineering showed that close to 80% of paid and volunteered firefighters across this country are either overweight or obese. So that's even higher than the public at large. But anyway, that's how it all got going, John.
I would think that fighting fires would be a very stressful, physically demanding, and adrenaline-pumping event, and that somebody needs to be in good shape in order to respond effectively and be able to tolerate the physical and emotional stress of the response that's involved.
Well, no doubt about it. And so at some point you start looking around at your fellow coworkers and you realize, boy, some of these guys are more of a liability than they are an asset. It's really unfortunate because you come out of the fire academy and you're incredibly gung-ho and you're fired up, you know, no pun intended, and you're incredibly enthused to, you know, be a great civil servant and an emergency first responder. And then what happens is typically, you know, just about every year in the fire department, you'll gain somewhere between 5 to 10 pounds. And so you look at guys that have been in the fire department for 10 years, and they've typically gained 50 to 100 pounds. And it's unfortunately a very toxic environment, whether it's the sleep deprivation, whether it's the high testosterone levels, and also the peer pressure to eat really unhealthy, you know, mostly processed and refined and animal-based products. It's not an environment that's conducive to eating healthfully. And so you have a lot of these guys that unfortunately are not model firefighters, and some of these guys, you know, have no business climbing 22, let alone, you know, 10 floors on a high-rise alarm because they just can't handle it. So there's a huge wake-up call, not only for this country, but for a lot of firefighters to get back to where they need to be to save people's lives, and including their own.
It's an extraordinary story, and one of the reasons is that, as you mentioned, you flipped the culture there. It's a male-dominated culture, particularly in the South. It's a meat-based culture, and a plant-weak diet, and you've taken that, and a lot of these guys have gone with you and gotten these extraordinary results. Some people say, typically, respond to these kinds of dietary changes that you advocate and I do. They'll say it's too radical, it's too extreme, it's too divergent from what they know from the standard American diet. And you've pointed out that people who eat the standard American diet get the standard American diseases and die standard American deaths. Is it your view that what's really radical and dangerous is what people are eating every day?
Yeah, you just kind of set me up there nicely. Absolutely. To me, there's nothing at all radical or extreme about eating a plant-strong diet. To me, it makes so much sense on so many levels. And, you know, we can go on and on and on about why the standard American diet is the extreme and radical diet, you know, where we have close to 70% of Americans that are overweight or obese. You know, one in two of us are dying of heart disease. Close to one in three of us born after 2000 will come down with type 2 diabetes, which we know is a lifestyle-created disease. We're living in a country now where one out of two of us will come down with some sort of major cancer in their lifetime. And, you know, whether it's my father's research with heart disease, whether it's Neil Barnard's research with diabetes, whether it is, you know, Colin Campbell's research with cancer along with Dean Ornish, I think that the peer-reviewed medical literature is just crystal clear. These are all lifestyle-created diseases. And so what we have within our grasp is the ability within a number of years basically to transform this country from a country whose health is in dire straits. We can raise ourselves up from the bootstraps and become just the epitome for a country that can turn it around. And, you know, because of the things that you're doing, because we live in this era of, you know, this information era, you know, I think that the truth is going to bubble to the surface. And the more people hear this message, the more I think they'll realize that this really resonates them at a number of different levels, whether it's for health, whether it's the health of the planet, whether it's the health of the animals, sustainability, all these things. It's just, It's just such a wonderful constellation of benefits that's right there for the taking.
Your latest book, My Beef with Meat, is already a bestseller on Amazon, even though it isn't even published yet. What is your beef with meat, Rip?
Well, it's a playful title, and it's meant to be a playful title. And, you know, one of the things that people really said that they loved about the Engine 2 Diet Book was they loved the myth-busting section, where I go into, just in one or two paragraphs, some of the major myths that are out there surrounding eating a plant-based diet. So what I do in my beef with meat is just a deeper dive into the myths that are out there swirling around eating a plant-based diet. So I'll tell you some of the sample chapters. Plants are plentiful in protein, vitamin B12, not a problem. Humans are herbivores. Craving meat isn't natural. The problem with the paleo diet. Eating plants is easy. The Mediterranean myth. Real men and real women eat plants. Plant strong, the athlete's X factor. Plants are eco-friendly. You know, I have a couple X-rated chapters. One is called Plants Perk Up Your Pecker, for all the men out there. And then we also have one for the women, Veggies Give Verve to Your Vulva. We also have a chapter called Barbecue Plus Meat Equals Danger. You know, we also go into some of the stuff around oil that's out there, because so many people think that olive oil and coconut oil and these extracted plant-based oils are healthy, and so we have a whole chapter on oil is the new snake oil. We have to talk about the wonderful results that happen and what a moving experience it is when you start eating plants and you have all this fiber coursing through you. So we have a chapter called Poops from Heaven. And then I also go into one little chapter through the eyes of my children. I have a 3- and a 5-year-old, and neither Cole or Sophie can even come close to comprehending that we kill and that we eat all of these farm animals that are in so many of the books that we read to them every night. So we have a chapter called Eating Aminals Isn't Nice. That's the way they pronounce animals. That's just a sample. And there's 36 of those chapters. So that's the first part is a polemic. And then the second half of the book, we have 140 new Engine 2 Plant Strong recipes. And I think that I should also say, John, the subtitle for this book is called The Healthiest Argument for Eating a Plant Strong Diet. My whole kind of motivation initially for writing this second book was actually you. And I remember seeing an article, and it was called How to Win an Argument with a Meat Eater, and it went into a lot of the different statistics and stats on all the benefits of eating plant-based. And that really kind of put my mind in motion to do another book kind of going in that direction. So thank you for that.
Well, thank you, and I'm honored that you've picked up the baton from me and from your dad and from a lot of other people and are carrying it so powerfully and so effectively. When you were going through the chapter titles for your new book, My Beef with Meat, there were a couple that got my attention, and I know these are playful, but one had to do with perking up your pecker and the other had to do with giving verve to your vulva. And I know that those are playful titles, yeah, but there's a truth behind that. There's a very serious and sober reality that you're talking about, and I wonder if you want to explain that for us a bit.
Yeah, well, so many guys think that eating meat is somehow masculine, and the reality is it does little to make you virile. I go into how you look at all the arteries in the human body, and the ones to the brain and to the legs and to the heart are about 5 millimeters in diameter, and that's about the size of a normal drinking straw or a ballpoint pen. But the artery that goes down to the male penis is actually only 1 millimeter in diameter, and that's about the size of a little coffee stirring straw. And so when you think about it, when you're eating all of the saturated fat and the dietary cholesterol and all the other nonsense that you get with animal products and processed and refined foods, the artery that's going to clog up first and foremost is the artery to the male penis. And so, you know, you look around right now, and we have close to 35 to 40 million American men that are relying on some sort of a little blue pill to get an erection. So, you know, we have a serious issue with erectile dysfunction. And Terry Mason, who was in Forks Over Knives, and he's the urologist from Chicago, he likes to say that the canary in the coal mine for heart disease is erectile dysfunction. It's one of the first signs. And so the chapter kind of goes into that. Just, I'll reiterate, you know, real men and real women, they eat plants for many reasons.
Is there an equivalent process for women?
There is, as a matter of fact. And it's just when you get the blood flow down to those areas, especially in women, all kinds of lubrication takes place. You know, actually, to be quite fair, I do need to say that since I'm not a female, I actually turned over the reins for this chapter to my sister, Jane, who helped me tremendously with the recipe section for this book. She actually kind of took the bull by the horns and made it happen. But she also wrote this section, chapter 26. And Jane has been a sex ed teacher at an all-girls school and a co-ed school for close to 15 years. She's a nurse. You know, she follows the Plant Strong protocol. And so she did a tremendous job writing this chapter on behalf of all the women that are out there.
I'm sure she did. I know Jane, and she's great. You're really changing a cultural paradigm here, and the idea that meat gives strength and meat is the food for men. And as a firefighter, as a triathlete, you've been a man's man. You are a man's man. And here you are thriving, and not just thriving, surpassing world champions on a Plant Strong diet. And you're not the only one. And I know you know this. Scott Jurek, probably the most dominant ultra-marathoner in the world today, is an ardent vegan, as are many other marathoners and triathletes.
Yeah, I think when you look around, you know, what you'll see is in the ultra-endurance world, you've got people like Scott, you've got Rich Roll, you've got Brendan Brazier, and a slew of others. But it's gone into, you know, the NFL, where you've got people like Tony Gonzalez that's eating a plant-strong diet, Arian Foster. It's in the NBA with people like Staleed Stoudemire. I recently actually learned that the most recent person to follow the Engine 2 diet on Twitter was none other than LeBron James. So that's that's pretty cool stuff. And I'm not saying that LeBron's playing strong, but it sounds like, you know, he might be interested. And then you've got, you know, people like Serena and Venus Williams and Jorge Larocque of the NHL. So I think more and more you're going to find that athletes are going to be turning to plants to give them the edge, because these are nature's natural performance-enhancing drugs.
Keith Holmes credits a vegan diet for helping him win the world middleweight championship in boxing.
Nice.
Carl Lewis, who has been voted the greatest Olympic athlete of the 20th century, credits his best performances to his vegan diet. There are athlete after athlete finding a plant-strong diet to increase their performance and give them a competitive edge. And yet it seems ironic to me that with all the health and athletic advantages of eating this way, the culture as a whole still sometimes seems to think backwardly that we need meat to be healthy and strong.
You know, as you well know, we've been basically brainwashed and bamboozled into thinking that we need meat for protein, we need dairy to build strong bones and a strong body, and we need, you know, egg for the perfect food, we need olive oil, you know, to make us heart healthy. So, you know, we've all got some work to do here to, you know, put these myths to rest.
Speaking of myths, what about the idea that carbs make us fat?
Yeah, well, you know, I would say that carbs do not make us fat. What does make us fat are a lot of the processed and refined carbohydrates that are out there. So when somebody says that they're staying away from carbs, most Americans, 95% of their carbohydrate intake is coming from processed and refined carbs, as opposed to healthy, complex, and unrefined carbs, like fruits, vegetables, intact whole grains, whole grain pastas, oatmeal, things of that nature. What are healthy and that don't make you fat are carbohydrates that come in their natural package. And then, you know, what's also making Americans fatter, all the incredible things that we're putting on top of our food. So we have a baked potato, which is a nice source of carbohydrates. And then what do we do to it? We slather sour cream and bacon bits and ranch dressing on top. And if you're a firefighter, you'll throw on half a stick of butter onto one potato. So it's not the potato that's making you fat. It's all the incredible condiments and nonsense you're throwing on top of it. So carbs don't necessarily make us fat. It's just most Americans are consuming the wrong type of carbohydrates. It's coming from soda pops. It's coming from fruit juices. It's coming from fried chips and donuts and candy bars and white bread and white pasta.
And what is the right type?
The right type would be whole, intact, unprocessed carbohydrates, like fruits, vegetables, intact whole grains, like rice and millet and amaranth and quinoa, and of course beans and other legumes and lentils. These are all healthy sources of carbohydrates. All these foods predominantly have a healthy combination of carbohydrates, healthy fats, friendly plant-based proteins. And then what you're also getting here when you're doing the plants is you're getting phytonutrients, you're getting antioxidants, you're getting fiber, you're getting water, many of which are sorely missing in all of your animal products and your refined carbohydrates. And it's the same thing, you know, you look at French fries. You know, we take a healthy potato that's about 2% fat. We slice it up into little sticks. We put it down into oil, and we bring it back out, and now it's close to 52% fat. And then we take these little fat sticks, and we sprinkle salt on top of them, and then we dip them either in ketchup that's laden with high fructose corn syrup or in ranch dressing. So that, you know, all of a sudden we take what used to be a healthy carbohydrate, and now it's processed. It's not only unhealthy, but it's also very fattening. And it's interesting to note that America's number one vegetable that Americans consume are French fried potatoes. So we got to get people eating more whole, unrefined, unprocessed carbs the way nature intended.
Rip, as a former elite competitive athlete, I know you still compete in the Masters competitions, but you're a former firefighter, and now you've joined really an eminent family lineage in saving lives through helping people eat better. Your father's research about diet and heart disease stands in my eyes and in the eyes of many, many people as one of the most outstanding accomplishments in modern medicine. He's nothing less than a national treasure. How has your dad's work influenced your own?
Well, you know, my dad, he's always been my hero in my life. And I can remember back in the fourth and fifth grade when it was time for show and tell, I would take the Olympic gold medal that he won in Melbourne, Australia in 1956. I would take it in and proudly show the class. And then I just saw him always as having so much integrity in everything that he did. And I saw him going against the grain when he started his research in 1984 at the Cleveland Clinic. And I saw, you know, other doctors at the clinic who basically, you know, thought he was nuts, called him Dr. Sprouts, wanted nothing to do with what he was doing and were very unsupportive. But what I also learned from my father was that, you know, you got to follow the courage of your convictions. And he had that in absolute spades. And so, as you, John and Ocean, know, when you go down this path that you become so passionate about, you're running against the grain of what most of the people in this country think. And it's not easy, but I think we all believe in our hearts of hearts that this is a message that is so worth sharing and spreading with as many people as we can, because that ultimately is where the disconnect lies, is that people just don't have the information. They don't have the education. And if they had it, I truly believe we could turn this thing around. So I got from my father the courage to go down this path, the passion, and to just continue, you know, now that I'm not a firefighter, to continue to help people and save lives in this way.
Your organization, Indian 2 for Life, has been helping Whole Foods Market to develop and to administer its Health Starts Here initiative. And this is a program that's based on your Indian 2 diet plan. And it's designed, I know, to help customers eat more healthfully and also to inspire Whole Foods employees to improve their health. Can you tell us about this program and also about what it's been like for you to work with Whole Foods and about the results that you've seen from the program?
Yeah. You know, it was interesting. My book, The Engine 2 Diet, came out in February of 2009, and a couple months later, the CEO, John Mackey, sent me an email asking if I would like to come to dinner at his house, because he was having a bunch of members of his scientific advisory board over to his house for dinner, because he wanted to basically talk with some of the best and brightest minds in the business on what Whole Foods Market could do when they launched their healthy eating initiative in 2010. And I think that's the first time I met you, John, face-to-face. It was that night. And from there, he invited me to come to the weekend meetings. And then John sent me an email a couple months later saying that he'd love to go out for dinner, because he'd been hearing from a lot of Whole Food team members across the country that they've been following the Engine 2 program with great results. And so we went out to dinner. At the end of dinner, he said, you know, I want to try and figure out a way that we can work together. And he called me up a few days later, and he basically asked if I wanted to come and be a consultant for Whole Foods. I would go around the country talking to Whole Food team members and customers about eating healthier. And then also, we would put on some of these week-long total immersion programs for some of the Whole Food team members who medically qualified because they were either overweight or they were hypertensive or they had were pre-diabetic, but they had to medically qualify. And then Whole Foods would pay for them to go to one of these week-long immersion programs. And then also John asked about coming out with a line of Engine 2 Plant Strong healthy food products that would be available exclusive in Whole Foods Market. And so I said, wow, this all sounds really fantastic. And so I retired from firefighting in October of 2009 and been working with Whole Foods ever since then. And it's really phenomenal what has happened over the last 4 years. There's over 345 stores now throughout the United States, Canada, and the UK. And I would say close to three-quarter of those stores have what's called a healthy eating specialist that works there. And they put on healthy programs. They help people shop for healthy foods. They're basically like a food coach that's there in the store to help out customers and team members. And several times a year, they'll throw Engine 2 28-day challenges that are following kind of my protocol, but they have weekly meetups where they teach people how to cook without oil, you know, what's wrong with dairy, what's wrong with animal products. And it's just really neat when you have somebody that's coaching you through the 28 days, and then you also have a group of people. And so that's been phenomenally successful throughout the stores. And then the food products, John, we just launched the first round of food products in November of 2012, and we now have 18 SKUs across 7 different categories, everything from cereals to hummuses to crackers and almond milks and frozen and veggie grain blends. And we're coming out with more and more products every year. So that's all really great. But, you know, Whole Foods, under John Mackey's leadership and vision, they want to be an agent for change for not only Whole Food team members and customers, but also for the country. And I think that what you're going to find is that, you know, whenever Whole Food Market does something, a lot of other grocery stores take notice. And you already have different supermarkets that are taking notice and launching their own thing. So this will only benefit everybody as people become more aware of that, really, you know, health starts in the supermarket with what you're buying every week to put on your table for your family.
The Health Starts Here initiative, I know that the Whole Foods means health starts here in the Whole Foods Market stores. I always think health starts here, wherever you are, is here for you at that moment. And it starts with your choices and your attitude. And are you feeding your joy? Are you nourishing your vitality? Or are you feeding your addictions and a kind of a low level of consciousness? And we always have those choices, whether to move in the direction of our intention and our goals for our lives and our highest purpose, or whether to move with the culture as a whole, which is kind of pushing us down to the lowest common denominator and surrounding us with a toxic food environment in which it's easier for most people to find a pack of cigarettes or a candy bar than it is to find some organic broccoli, and in which a calorie per calorie, Twinkies are cheaper than carrots. I mean, we really live in a toxic food world in many ways, what's been done to our food and is being done to our food is objectionable and it's dangerous. And so that's why I see Whole Foods as trying to take a stand in a different direction to help move the culture. And all of us are. That's really what the Food Revolution Network is about, that is putting on this summit, of course, and has other projects to help people to light the spark within them towards a healthy world and a healthy life and healthy choices. And you've been such an inspiration to so many people. I remember John Mackey, who is, as you've mentioned, the CEO of Whole Foods and the original founder, telling me that about how impressed he was with you, with your clarity, your sincerity, what you'd accomplished at the fire station in Austin, which is, of course, where Whole Foods' international headquarters is located also. And also with you as a person, your example that you set, your athletic achievements, which are truly world-class level, and the way you communicate the message and embody it, he thought was just outstanding, and it is. So I thank you, too.
Well, thank you, John. That's very nice. You know, it's funny how I never would have anticipated, even 5 years ago, that I'd be here doing what I'm doing now and putting on weekend retreats and working with Whole Foods Market and doing everything that I can in this whole space. So it's funny how, you know, when you're passionate about something and you're doing it for the right reasons, dots start to connect and opportunities present themselves, as you well know.
Well, you certainly are a dot connector, Rip. We love you for it. And thank you for breaking the stereotypes coming right out of Texas and standing up for what it means to be strong and healthy. We've been talking here with Rip Esselstyn, author of The Engine 2 Diet, The Texas Firefighter's 28-Day Save Your Life Plan that lowers cholesterol and burns away the pounds, and of the brand new book, My Beef with Meat. And Rip, you know, your message is so basic, and it's so important. Thank you for sharing your wisdom and your passion and your commitment with all of our listeners today.
Thank you, Ocean. Thank you, John. And thank you for what you guys are doing in this remarkable space.
This concludes our interview, but our work is just getting started. If you feel excited by what you just heard, then you want to share it with other people in your life. If you want access to 23 more amazing interviews, then we have an offer to share. We'd like to invite you to get a download and a transcript of the entire Food Revolution Summit, all 12 hours of interviews, plus a huge collection of bonus resources. You can get this entire package and own it for the rest of your life for very special offers between now and the end of the summit. If you want more information, please go to foodrevolution.org/empowerment. That's foodrevolution.org/empowerment. Thank you again for joining us. Have a blessed and beautiful day.
And now we have a treat for you. We bring you a special bonus recorded message. Over the years, my dad and I have had the privilege of hearing from many thousands of people whose lives have been transformed by the food revolution. Some of these people have lost excess weight or gained more energy, and others have reversed or even cured life-threatening illnesses like heart disease, cancer, or diabetes. Some of the stories of transformation are so heartwarming and so inspiring that it seems like they just need to be shared. One of those stories comes from Anthony Masiello. I caught up with Anthony a few days ago, and this is what he wanted to share with you.
My name is Anthony, and I am living, breathing proof that applying the principles of the food revolution had the power to dramatically improve your life. You see, in December of 2005, I was a physical mess. I was extremely obese. I was on medication for high blood pressure. I got migraine headaches almost every day. I had a 54-inch waist, and I weighed 360 pounds. And at age 33, I had just been denied a 20-year term life insurance policy. Being denied a 20-year term life insurance policy at such a young age, with a one-year-old baby at home and a second child on the way, was a huge wake-up call for me. Hearing an insurance company tell me that they didn't expect me to live to to see my unborn son's 20th birthday was devastating. I had struggled with weight my entire life. Growing up, I tried all sorts of diets and programs, trying to lose weight. Some things worked for a little while, but the weight never stayed off for very long. With my second son on the way, I had to try again. At the same time, I was frustrated with all the information that I was able to find, because none of it really seemed healthy to me. I really wasn't sure what to do, but I knew I had to do something. So to get started, on January 1st, 2006, I made a New Year's resolution to give up soda and sweets, and I set a goal to lose 50 pounds by the end of the year. A few months later, and without having lost a single pound, I was frustrated again. I became depressed. I truly felt hopeless. But I was still determined, and I didn't give up. I kept searching until I came across Dr. Joel Fuhrman's book, Eat to Live. The information in Dr. Fuhrman's book made a lot of sense to me. I liked the idea of eating lots of fruits and vegetables. It made sense to me, and it sounded so healthy. I immediately began following Dr. Fuhrman's program. And by the time my second son was born, just 2 months after purchasing Eat to Live, I had already lost 30 pounds. I continued changing my diet for the next several months, eating more and more vegetables, fruits, beans, nuts, and seeds, and less of everything else. And by the end of 2006, I was feeling great. At this point, I was off blood pressure medication, I was no longer experiencing headaches, and I had lost a total of 90 pounds, completely blowing away that goal I had of losing 50 pounds for the year. I was excited, and I continued in 2007, eating almost exclusively vegetables, fruits, beans, nuts, and seeds, just as Dr. Fuhrman recommends. And I continued, losing about 8 pounds a month, every single month, until September of 2007, when my weight loss stopped, just as suddenly as it began. At that point, I had lost more than 160 pounds. My blood pressure was ideal, without medication, and I didn't get headaches. I was able to get that life insurance policy, telling me that for the first time in my life, I was actually healthy on the inside. I was then and am now in the best shape of my life. I've been perfectly stable with my ideal health and weight for more than 5 years now. I thoroughly enjoy this extremely healthy lifestyle that I'm now living. Everything in my life now feels better. I'm also very proud to be a healthy husband to my wife, Kathy, and a positive role model for my sons, Evan and Henry. Being able to keep up with them today and knowing that I will continue to be an active part of their lives for many years to come means the world to me. I now realize that becoming healthy really is the most valuable thing that I've ever done for myself and for my family. And I want you to know that you too can do this. I've been there. I know how intimidating it is. I know how scary it is. And I know how hard it can seem. But I will promise you, with all my heart, it is worth it. It is worth every ounce of effort that it takes to become healthy. My life now is truly amazing, and I know that yours can be too.
This segment is now complete. Our next interview will start at the top of the hour. Teleconference and Skype callers can stay on the line or hang up and call back then. If you're listening on the internet, please go to foodrevolution.org/calendar and click on the name of our next speaker to find the player controls. This interview will be available on a replay starting on the hour for the next 23 hours. Or you can get it in CD or digital form, along with transcripts, at foodrevolution.org/empowerment. Thank you so much for joining us.